Yep. Well, good morning, everybody. It's really good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I have to be honest. We're family, right? So I can do that. I'm struggling this morning. The woman that Harry shared, Marie Madison, is in pretty bad shape, and she's someone I know very well and love very dearly. So I'm going to go ahead and pray before I start. Father, I pray that, first of all, you would heal Marie, and Lord, I pray that you would give me the courage this morning to share your truth, Lord, this morning, even though emotionally I'm really struggling, Lord. I just pray that you would speak through me the words that you want to say, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, good back there, Greg? Okay, wait a second. I would tell you guys a lame joke, but I think we've heard enough of them from Harry this morning. Good, buddy? All right. Well, this morning, ironically enough, we're going to be talking about a subject that has a lot to do with what's been going on this week. I can't get my Bible to stay open. So the title of my message today is Walking with God, okay? And by a show of hands, how many of you here today would say that you want to walk with God? Okay, yeah, me too. I know that I do. I want to walk with God every day of my life. But you know, there's when people say that they want to walk with God, I think sometimes what they actually mean is very different. I think what they mean at times is that they want God to walk with them, okay, which is very different. Meaning that they want God to go where they want to go, right? Isn't that what we want sometimes? So you're like, come on, God, let's go do this thing. As opposed to them actually going where God wants them to go. There's a big difference. Another way to put it is they want to be blessed by God, but they're not necessarily concerned about whether or not they're being a blessing to Him. You guys realize that we can be a blessing to God? Like, you know, we talk about so much about being blessed by God, but we can be a blessing to God just by being obedient to whatever it is, you know, that he's telling us to do, and that looks different for each person. So I'll share a little bit about my own walk with God. You know, my own walk with God has been marred with a couple of times where I actually ceased to walk with Him. I just said, I did a 180 degree turn and said, see you later, big guy. I'm going my own way, you know. And the first was after my grandfather died, and the second was a period of time just before my wife and I got together. And both of those times, I was in a really dark place. You guys ever been in a really dark place in your life? Okay, where you just feel isolated from other people. You feel like everything that could go wrong has gone wrong, and you just feel like God doesn't care. Or that if He does, it's just too hard to follow Him. Okay, and that's where I was in those two specific periods of time. But there's one thing that I've learned, and this is why I will never ever stop walking with God again. And that's what I've learned is that if I had continued to walk with God during those difficult times, they wouldn't have been nearly so difficult. They would have been a lot easier if I had just walked with Him. So with that being said, we're going to talk about an individual in the Bible who walked with God for 300 years, okay? His name is Enoch, and his story is really short, but really powerful. Literally, there are 9 verses of Scripture in the Bible that talk about Enoch or quote something he said, okay? There are 6 in the Old Testament that talk about Enoch and 3 in the New. And so what I want to do is start in the Old Testament with our source passage, and then we'll just go from there and see what happens. So if you have your Bibles and you turn to Genesis 5, it says in Genesis 5, verses 21 through 24, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more because God took him away. Okay, so now 365 years seems like a long time, right? But actually, Enoch was kind of, his life was pretty short compared to a lot of other people that lived. So the first thing that we're told about Enoch is that he lived 65 years and had a son named Methuselah, okay? And what I want to point out to you, why that's significant is that Enoch became, only after he became a father, did he start walking with God, okay? For 65 years, he lived, and then he had a son, and then it says after that, for 300 years, he walked faithfully with God. So he was 65, had a kid, got married, I assume, and then he started walking with God, which is, you know, that's typically what happens. A lot of times people will get married, have kids, and realize that they need to give their kids something of substance in their life, you know. And so Enoch started walking with God at 65. And I point that out to you because I want to give you all the hope that although there might be times in your lives where you're not walking with God, it's okay. It's okay that you had moments, you know, where you turned away from God, or maybe you didn't know God for 50 years and then you got saved. It's okay. It, you know, you don't have to be perfect. Because the one thing that all human beings have in common, other than being born and then dying, is that we, at one point or another, have all failed to walk with God. We all have that in common. So it's okay. The next thing we're told about Enoch is that he walked faithfully with God for 300 years. So what I want to do is talk about what does it mean to walk with God? Well, I think that can mean a lot of things. Walking with God can mean many, many things. It could mean that we follow all of God's laws, right? It could mean that, you know, walking with God means we follow the rules, right? Which would be exhausting and you would be so tired. I don't think that's what is intended here, mainly because for Enoch, there was no law. Enoch was born and lived before God gave Moses the law, many, 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 many years before Moses, centuries. Okay, so I don't think that it's the law or following the rules the writer of Genesis is talking about. I think this phrase could also mean that Enoch literally walked with God, like I would walk with one of you right now. It could also mean that he followed God's leading. Now, my personal opinion is that Enoch literally walked with God. I think he literally walked with him. And because of that, he also followed God's leading. So one or both of those could be true, and we could spend a lot of time trying to debate and figure out which one's true, but it doesn't matter. The point is that he had a really close relationship with God, one way or the other. With that said, what I know for certain about Enoch is that he is an exception to 1,500 years of people living, dying, and having almost nothing to do with God. Genesis chapter 5, okay, which is where we find this text, you guys realize that chapter 5 encompasses 1,500 years of history. It's a lot of history, okay? And every other person in the genealogy of Adam, okay, it says that they lived, they died, that's it. They lived and died, okay? It doesn't mention anything about them walking with God or knowing God. And so Enoch is an exception. He's an exceptional person. You know, or why else would the writer of Genesis take the time to mention that he walked faithfully with God for 300 years? It's significant. So he's the only one that's said to have walked with God. And the word walk there denotes obedience and fellowship with God, okay? Which are two really, you know, important things if we're going to walk with God. Now, as I said, we could try to follow the rules, but that's not the same thing as obedience, okay? Obedience means that that when I'm fellowshipping with God and he tells me, hey, Mike, I want you to go give this person $50 or whatever, I do it. It's not a rule, okay? It's not like you must do this or else, but it's something God desires you to do, and so you're obedient. That's what obedience means. And fellowship, we all know what fellowship is here. I think I don't have to explain that too much. You know, it just means that we spend time with God, okay? So when the Bible says that Enoch walked, that's what it's talking about. Enoch spent time with God, and he was obedient to God for 300 years, okay? It also implies a steady, progressive relationship with God, not just like a casual, you know, hey, God, I'm going to meet with you every Saturday at 3 o'clock, and then I'll see you next week. Okay, it was a daily thing. That's what it means to walk with God, is we progressively get closer and closer to God because we're always spending time with him. That's what Enoch did. He was spending time with God, whether, like I said, whether that was physically in God's presence or not is irrelevant. Enoch walked with God. He fellowshipped with God. You know, in short, he walked with God every day, and he became God's friend. How many of you guys would like to be God's friend? I would like to be God's friend. Couple more things about Enoch's walk with God. Enoch walked with God. It says with. It's an important word there. It means that he lived squarely in God's will. Okay? Not perfectly, okay, but squarely. He didn't get out ahead of God, and he didn't get behind God. He didn't try to do his own thing. He listened for God's voice to tell him what to do, and he did his best to do that. And secondly, I love how the NIV puts it here, because it really it kind of helps us understand what the word walk means. It says he faithfully walked with God, right? That means he did it consistently. He walked with God consistently. He didn't, like, you know, walk with God for a couple weeks and then go, yeah, you know, God, this is getting kind of hard and I'm kind of tired. I think I'm going to go do my own thing for a while. And then, you know, maybe when I feel like it, you know, I'll come back and, you know, we'll do some more of that, you know, of your will. No, Enoch faithfully walked with God. He consistently followed after God for 300 years. I keep saying that. That's a long time, isn't it? And I say that because sometimes we, and by we I mean me, we get tired of doing God's will. Has that ever happened to you guys? You get tired of doing God's will? Okay, so I'm not alone. Phew. I was a little nervous. But the thing is, he did it for 300 years. Now, the average person today lives like 80 some years, okay? A little bit longer if you're a female, so you guys got a little bit harder than us men. My point is we don't have to do it for 300 years. God's not asking us, you know, to be just like Enoch. Okay? We only have to do it for, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, maybe 100 years if you live that long. Earlier I said that, you know, that Enoch was the exception, right? He was the one man in a 1,500-year genealogy that was said to have walked with God. And this, I want you to listen to what Skip Heitzig had to say. He said, Enoch walked with God when the world was not. Do you guys get the significance of that? Enoch, not only did he walk for 300 years with God faithfully, he did it when nobody else was. Nobody else was said to have been walking with God. Now, maybe there was other people, I don't know. But I gave you this quote to point out the fact that in our world today, there are probably more non-Christians than Christians. And so it's going to be, we're going to have to walk with God when it seems like nobody else is. It's going to be hard. It's not easy. If it were easy, everybody would be doing it. And so I say all that to just to challenge you, like, walk with God when it's not hard or when it's not easy. Walk with Him even when it's not easy. You know, this morning I was talking to a friend of mine before church, and you know, we were talking about this very thing, and you know what I realized? If I only walk with God when it's easy, then I haven't really done anything for God. I really haven't. You know, I haven't done anything. Now, I learned something about Enoch that I didn't know at all. Did you guys know he spoke for God? I didn't know that. I had no idea that Enoch had any dialogue in the Bible, but he does have a little bit of dialogue. If you have your Bible and you want to go there, it's Jude 14 and 15, excuse me. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them of all the ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness and of all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. That was Enoch. Now, I have no idea how the half-brother, Jude, of Jesus, he's the half-brother of Jesus. I don't know how he knew that, but he did. And he quotes it here. And it's a word of prophecy that Enoch spoke either to or about his contemporaries, the people that lived with him. And so for a moment, I just want to focus on the fact that Enoch spoke on the behalf of God. Enoch, see, he wasn't just... Sometimes we think that when we're walking with God, that just means that we read our Bible, we pray, maybe we pray for some other people, we try to do good things, but we don't have any responsibility to be a beacon of light in the world. Like, we get to go into this Christian shell and just exclude ourselves from the world, but that's not how it works. We don't get to just hide. And Enoch, he was a light in a dark time. You know, if nobody else in that 1500 year span walked with God, and Enoch was the only one, he could have just kind of turtled up, went into his shell, and said, God, you know, I'll see you when I get to heaven. But he didn't. He did what God asked him to do. He spoke the words that God asked him to speak. And we have a responsibility to do the same thing. And I want you to look at what he spoke. He was speaking about the depravity of the times he lived in, about the sinfulness of human beings during that time. And I know this because this isn't on my slides, but I found it important to point it out to you. If you turn from Genesis chapter 5 to the next page, to Genesis chapter 6, listen to what God said about the human beings that lived at this time. In Genesis 6, 5, it says, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. Okay? So, human beings were pretty bad shape at that time, okay? And Enoch could have been, like, terrified to speak this word of prophecy because, oh, God, they might kill me. Yeah, they might. But he had the courage to say what God wanted him to say. Do you guys get what I'm saying? Like, he had the courage to say the truth even when nobody else cared about God. And I wonder if we have that same courage, you know, because I know there have been many times in my life that I can look back and I know that God wanted me to do something or say something, and I didn't because I was afraid. I was afraid to do God's will because it might be hard. Somebody might not like me. Somebody might even try to hurt me. Okay? Now let me just say that I'm not giving you a license to say whatever you want to say. Like, make sure that if you think you're supposed to say something, be 100% sure that that's really God. But if you do know that it's God, don't be afraid to say it. God's got your back. He's going to take care of you. Okay. There's another reason that I know that he was speaking about the sinfulness of that time. He had a son. He had a son, right, named Methuselah. We're told he lived 65 years, and then he had a son named Methuselah. Do you guys know that Methuselah was the oldest human ever? 969 years old. He must have been pretty tired at that point. So what I didn't know about Methuselah is that his name could mean two things. It says it could mean when he dies, judgment, or when he is dead, it shall be sent. Okay, and you think, okay, that's great, Pastor Mike. Useless trivia. No, it's actually really important. Methuselah, we can't be exactly sure, but he died from anywhere from a week to one day before the flood of Noah. Like, isn't that interesting? So Enoch walked so closely with God. He walked so closely with God, and he heard from God so well that God told him 969 years before it happened what his plan was. And so Enoch gave his son this prophetic name to sort of denote what was going to happen to the world. Now, how does somebody come by that information? Well, you have to know the source, right? I mean, you have to really know the source. That's why all the prophets in the Old Testament that spoke about things that may have already happened or may happen in the future, they said it because they had such a relationship with God that they heard what he said. I don't hear God much, but I would, it would be really great if every day I'm walking with God and he's speaking to me and he's telling me things that are going to happen or things that I should do or things to avoid, wouldn't that be helpful? Like, hey, Mike, there's going to be a pothole on 414, like, watch out. That's amazing. Like, Enoch had such a close walk with God and such a dialogue going on with his heavenly Father that he knew things. God told him things. And then we wonder why God doesn't speak to us. Well, are you spending time with him? Are you really walking with him every day? Because if you are, I promise he's going to start speaking to you. And you might not like what he says, so, just a warning. There's one other verse in all of Scripture that talks about Enoch, and I would, it's in Hebrews 11, verse 5, and it says this. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away, for before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. The writer of Hebrews, who we don't know who that is, I think it's Paul personally, but we have no idea. He says that by faith, okay, Enoch was taken from this life. Did you guys catch that? By faith, okay, meaning that because of Enoch's great faith in God, he was taken from this life and he didn't experience death. Isn't that cool? Like, Enoch had such a level of faith that enabled him to walk so closely with God that God decided to rapture him instead of letting him die. That's pretty amazing. Now, it's very similar to what Genesis 5:24 says, which is, Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more because God took him, okay? So very similar. I'll go back to that one. So then we're told the reason this happened was because before Enoch was taken, before God raptured him, he was commended as what? As one who pleased God. Are we pleasing God? Enoch was taken to heaven with God because God was so pleased with him. And I would be even more specific. He was so pleased with the relationship that they had that he wanted Enoch with him in heaven, not just on earth. And I have a, this is just my opinion, okay? So you take it for what it's worth. I think that God wanted to spare him the experience of death because he loved Enoch so much. So, again, you see, right, that Enoch was the exception to 1,500 years of people just living and dying. He was an exception. He walked with God, and then he was raptured, right? And so Enoch then becomes this type for what will happen someday later, you know, when Jesus will come and rapture his church. He's like in literary terms, I think it's called a foreshadowing. I'm not sure. Is that right, Harry? Yeah, I thought so. So it's a foreshadowing of a work that Jesus is going to, you know, complete. So, you know, in the short account of Enoch's life, the Bible points out that two times that he walked faithfully with God. And so let me just reiterate that I think what happened is that he had such a close relationship with God that God wanted him in heaven and he wanted him to not experience death. And when I look and I think about that, I'm like, man, I want that kind of relationship with God. I want to walk with him in such a way that we are so close that he just goes, you know what, Mike, you're not going to die. I'm just going to take you to heaven. Your work's done. I'm just going to take you to heaven. Okay? Now, I have a theory, and again, this is my opinion only, so please don't, like, go tell your friends that Pastor Mike told me this great truth about the Bible. I don't know that it's true. It's just a theory. I think that the reason that people experience death and don't have this Enoch experience isn't because God loves them less than Enoch. You know, God loves he loves me just as much as he loves you guys. What I think it is that Enoch, he lived so faithfully to God that in 300 years he accomplished everything God wanted him to do. Like, I think he walked so faithfully with God that everything God wanted him to do, he did. And then what was God going to do? Just let him, like, hang out for another 300 years and do nothing? And again, it's only a theory, but I wonder if we were walking with God so faithfully and so closely that we got to a point where we're hearing him so clearly and we're doing his will so well that we accomplish all the things he wants us to do, like at 50 years old. And then he goes, okay, what do you want to do, Mike? You want to stay here or you want to come to heaven? What? It's a theory. But the point is that we can walk that closely with God. Do you guys get that? You can walk that closely with God if you want to. You know, I said everyone loves... Or excuse me, God loves everyone the same, right? He loves me just as much as he loves you. He loves me just as much as the terrorists in the Middle East, okay? He loves me just as much as he loved Adolf Hitler or any other you know, terrible person we could think of. He loves human beings all the same. But here's the thing. We can love God at different levels of intensity and intimacy, can't we? We can love him differently, you know? And so how much or how little we love God is entirely up to us. It's our choice. It's, you know, God can't make you love him more or walk more faithfully with him. He's a gentleman. He gives you free will. But Enoch chose to love God in such a way that God was his constant companion every day, and he was God's constant companion. It goes back to what I said about, you know, we want God to bless us, but we don't ever think about being a blessing to him. And so we have to choose to walk with God, no matter what. You know, this lady that I talked to you about earlier that I know that's in pretty bad shape right now is a perfect example. This morning, if I'm being honest with you guys, I was pretty ticked off at God because I understand, you know, why he allows people to kill other people. He gives us free will. He gives us the choice to do things that are good or they're bad, right? But this lady got hurt through no fault of anybody else. Nobody was trying to hurt her. And I'm like, God, why? And you know what? I could sit here and I could question God and I could wonder why and I could get mad at him. Or I could just continue to walk with him and let him comfort me and comfort the people that cared about this, you know, that care about this woman as well. And I think, you know, we're all faced with that choice on a, I don't know if it's a daily basis, but probably on a weekly basis, we're all faced with some situation where we could just spend time complaining about God or complaining about this, or we could just choose to continue walking with him and say, God, can you, this is really hard. Can you help me? Can you help me get through it? Can you come and comfort me? Can you give me strength? Can you give me courage? You know, and I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying that it's right. It's the right thing to do, is to just keep walking with him, even when it's hard. And so my point to you guys this morning is this. Enoch's testimony. Okay, you guys have heard some pretty amazing testimonies here in church, right? His testimony wasn't some dramatic change of life story, you know. It doesn't say that, you know, when Enoch lived 65 years before he knew God, that like his life was horrible and he was a terrible alcoholic or something. Like, it just says he lived. So we don't know much about Enoch. But it, to me, doesn't appear to be a dramatic change of life story, but it was just simple. His testimony is that he walked with God. He spoke for God. He pleased God, which are all really the same thing. He had a relationship with God, a really close relationship with God. Enoch's testimony is that he chose to become God's constant companion. One little final side note, and then I want to give you guys a challenge this morning. Enoch's life, you know, proves something really significant to me, and I hope it proves it to you. You know, Adam and Eve, Enoch was the seventh relative from Adam in Seth's line, okay? So he was seven generations removed from the fall of man, okay? Now, seven generations back then was a lot longer, but he was seven generations removed from Satan tempting Adam and Eve and them giving into that temptation and just screwing up everything for humans, okay? But Enoch's story proves to us that we can recapture that. He walked with God so closely that God raptured him. So despite what the enemy would like to tell us, we actually can have that pre-fall relationship with God if we want it. Especially when you consider the fact that Jesus, he took care of all that stuff on the cross, all that sin, all that shame. It's done. There's nothing you can do or that you need to do to make things right with you and God. You're right with God. You're right with God if you just choose to walk with him. So we can recapture that. So let me give you a quote here. This is Skip Heitzig again. I like this guy. He says, Enoch was an ordinary guy who had an extraordinary relationship with God because of its simplicity. Simply put, he walked with God. You know, sometimes we get the idea that an amazing Christian life like has to look like really flashy. No, it doesn't. It's just simple. You just walk with him every day. You walk with him, you talk to him, you listen to him. And then you just are obedient to whatever it is he tells you. So my challenge to you guys this morning is, are you walking with God? And some of you before today would have said, yeah. And maybe some of you today are going, well, I'm not sure, Pastor Mike, now. Is he your constant companion? You know, if he's not, and you want him to be, then I would challenge you to start walking with him today. And if you want some help with what that looks like, come see me during our closing song, and I'd love to talk to you or pray for you. Amen? All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for